say, I'd like to call the meeting to order. Could I get a roll call, please?
Paul Segura?
Here.
Carol LeBlanc?
Here.
Tom Arnold?
Present.
Tom Harris?
Here.
Emile Cordeau?
Here.
Rochelle Michaud-Dugo?
Here.
Ed Hyde?
Here.
Todd Hollinshead?
Here.
Robert Watkins? Gregory Carter?
Here.
Johnny Bradbury? You have a form.
Great, thanks.
I'm going to make a motion, if we could move, under new business?
7D.
7D, correct. Heather, request Mr. Hollinshead heard first, please.
All right, we have a motion by Mr. Arnold to second by Ms. LeBlanc, move a new business item 7B, request by Mr. Hollinshead to handle that business right now. Do we have a motion to second? Any questions or discussion? Any public comment? If none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Okay, item 7B is a request by Todd Hollinshead, our board member, for the adoption of a resolution to begin the state mineral and energy board meetings and lease sales with the pledge of allegiance. Got any second? No, yeah, well. Okay. You make a motion to approve that item. And second by Mr. Hyde. So we have a motion by Mr. Hollinshead and second by Mr. Hyde. Any questions or discussion? I'm not going to ask if there's any opposition. And any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. So with that, I'd like to, maybe we could all stand and face the flag, and Mr. Hollinshead could lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd just like to say something that's not on the agenda, but as all of you know, this morning there was a shooting in Washington, D.C. with our Louisiana House of Representatives member, Steve Scalise, and another, I believe, Representative Roger Williams, and a couple of staffers at a House and Senate baseball practice. And so just like to keep them in our prayers, thoughts at this horrible time that something like this could happen, that just a baseball practice. So anyway, item 3 is the approval of the May 10th, 2017 minutes. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes? Move by Mr. Cadero, second by Mr. Marshall Duda, Misha Duda. Any questions or discussion? Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. Item 4 is the staff reports. The first up is A, lease review report presented by Jason Talbot and Charles Bradbury. Morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Chairman, members of the board. I'll be very brief with the lease report today. Currently, we have 1,294 active leases, covering nearly 558,000 acres. GE staff reviewed since the last board meeting some 127 leases covering 49,000 acres for lease maintenance and development. We have no leases to discuss in more detail today.
All right. Then that's it. We'll move on to the nomination track report by Neil Fontenot. Thank you, Jason.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I vote that the board was previously granted the staff to process and advertise 4 tracts in the official journal of the state. accept the nomination containing approximately 1,773 state acres for the September 13, 2017 mineral lease sale for an exclusive geophysical agreement type 3 in the Manila Village Field, Jefferson Parish, Louisiana. OMR staff has met with an interested party to review its objective for the EGA. The purpose of the meeting was for the party to present the area of interest and the type of EGA being requested for staff review. Staff has determined it is in the best interest of the state to grant an EGA over the area comprising the aforementioned 1,773 acres and has carefully evaluated the area in order to set the minimum fees. Those minimum fees are $45 per acre seismic fee for the 18-month permit, $400 per acre bonus, $200 per acre rentals, and 22.5% royalty on acres selected. 50 acres for the mandatory lease acreage requirement, 50% of the unleased state acreage for a maximum lease acreage selection under the EGA. The set terms were set by staff and accepted by the party. Now we have to come before you, and staff is recommending that the Mineral and Energy Board approve the same and authorize staff to advertise the said acreage for the September 13, 2017 mineral lease sale when the nominated by the party.
All right, great, thank you. Any questions or discussion or a motion?
I make a motion to set the staff recommendation. Further explanation, if you don't mind, sir.
All right. We have a motion by Mr. Arnold.
Second.
By Ms. LeBlanc. Thank you. Mr. Hike has a question or clarification?
Well, just a kind of stupid question. Tell me what an exclusive geographic.
There are no stupid questions. There are two types of...
I'm stupid. Just tell me. Explain to me what that means.
There are two types
of... Exclusive question.
Yeah.
There are two types of agreements. There's the non-exclusive geophysical agreement and the exclusive geophysical agreement. Mm-hmm. The non-exclusive geophysical agreement, by the way, next month, we will present to you the terms for that non-exclusive agreement, the particulars, and you will either accept them or reject them. And we use those terms throughout the year to grant the non-exclusive geophysical permits. Any company or many companies can come one on top of the other and permit the same area. Now, we move to the exclusive geophysical agreements. There are three types, the type 1, the type 2, and the type 3. These are, for different reasons, the board can grant, will not grant any new seismic agreement or permit in the nominated area during the 18-month period, but they do reserve the right under the type 1 to accept nominations and to grant award a lease. It's a different flavor for different people. We have an exclusive type 2, which the board will not grant any new seismic permit or agreement, nor will they award any leases in the EGA for that 18-month period. And then the third one that we're coming with to you today for, it includes those terms of 1 and 2, but it gives the grantee the exclusive right to select the acreage after the 18 months. Additionally, there we have an additional 6 months, which this party did not request, but sometimes seismic takes a little more time in the processing and what have you. So we allow an additional 6 months if requested. In this case, they did. When I read the $45 per acre, that's for taking the acreage out of commerce and paying for the shoot itself. The unique thing about the exclusive geophysical type 3 is that if they win the nomination or the bid at the September lease sale, if you grant the exquisite geophysical to be nominated, and they are the successful party will, in addition to paying us $45 per acre times the 1,773 acres, on or before the 18 months after they've shot the geophysical and they've processed it, they will make a selection at $400 per acre, I think is what I said. So a bonus consideration, $400. So the terms are set, and statute gives us what I read, the direction to go, and then it comes to you today for your approval of what we've just done. Do you need to expand any more on that?
No, I think, I guess basically what you're saying is that if a company is interested in an area, but they're not real sure about what's in that area, and they try to pursue this exclusive geophysical
program. The geophysical agreement, it protects them while they...
And they do the due diligence, and then they determine whether or not...
They're spending all of the money to develop it and to determine whether it's developable, whether it's a profitable thing or not, and then they start producing it. The party is already active in the field. So, and it's just a matter of reassuring of their operations. Instead of spending money unwisely, this geophysical data will give them a more accurate position to continue to
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
All right. Any other questions or discussion?
I have one question. The information gathered, would that be shared with the staff? Did you use this for
that? It can be if they decide to. We cannot request it according to statute. We cannot.
Because it's exclusive?
Because of the seismic, yes. Because of the confidential nature of the information you obtain.
I know in the past with other agreements they've actually agreed to a lower price in exchange for the information, correct?
We had to go a different route because we wanted to follow statute.
Yeah, basically what they can do is, as additional consideration in the bid, they can offer us the seismic, but we can't.
So people can have a question.
Thank you.
So it's that the different EGAs have different terms, and depending on the area that's of interest, staff can make certain recommendations at what the terms would be with regards to those exclusive arrangements?
Yes, sir. That's what we've done.
Right.
We've analyzed the situation, and we determined which one they were asking for, and then our technical staff determined what were reasonable and bonus considerations, and then after we established that and the interested party was agreeable to it, pursuant to statute, then we came today to get your approval or disapproval.
Thank you. All right, any other questions or discussion? Public comment? All right, this motion is second on the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Seeing about the same thing. Motion carries.
13 nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the August 9th, 2017 mineral lease sale or pending approval by the board for advertising. For the August 10th, 2016 mineral lease sale, this office received 14 nominations for advertising. Staff recommends that be given authority to advertise the said nominations received in this office for the August 9th, 2017 mineral lease sale.
Right, we have a motion and a second on that item two. A motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Hyde. Any questions or discussion? Public questions or discussion? If not, all in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. I believe that's it for business?
Sir, yes.
Thank you, Neil. Right now, we're ready for the audit report. Ms. Rachel Newman, thank you.
Good morning. As of May 31st, 2017, field audit collections totaled $1,129,975. This included $727,670 in exceptions, $161,819 in interest, and $240,486 in penalties. During the month of May, we engaged 4 audits, and the current number of open royalty audits is 70. Royalties collected in the month of May totaled $17,744,162. Fiscal year to date, that total is $189,826,867. Same time last year, that total was $198,043,816. A total of 324 monthly reports were collected in May. This included 120 for oil, 156 for gas, and 48 for plant products. Item number 1 is a penalty waiver request from Energy 21 GOM LLC for a penalty in the amount of $79,907.73 billed for audit exceptions. The field audit for the period January of 08 through June of 15 began on December 7th of 2015. Total royalty collected for that audit period is $48,056,542. This was the third audit of Energy 21 GOM. Some of the problems in previous audits were again billed in the current audit. They were very cooperative with accommodations and with scheduling and providing documents and granting access to key personnel. So we had no issues at all performing the audit. The royalty and the interest were paid timely. Company is implementing corrective measures to prevent future recurrence of the same errors. Energy 21 GOM LLC paid the state a total of $264,182.35 in royalty exceptions, and $70,829.85 in interest. In accordance with penalty waiver protocol, we are recommending a 75% waiver of $59,930.80, with a balance of $19,976.93 due to the state.
Let me ask them, wasn't Energy 21 in bankruptcy? But I guess this is a sub-entity of deal they're doing, right?
It was Energy Partners, I believe, that was in bankruptcy.
It was both of them.
It was both.
Energy Partners, I think, was around 2008, 2009. Energy 21 is now, I believe they've emerged from bankruptcy. But I don't believe that it was all of their entities that were
right.
No, this one,
the mother.
This one was not actually treated as a bankruptcy.
Right. Okay. All right. Thanks. Any questions or discussion, Secretary? Secretary Harris.
I have a question. Have you previously waived penalties for this company?
Yes, sir. We have. If you're speaking specifically to field audits. This was their third audit. Their first audit resulted in no findings. Their second audit, we did, in fact, waive penalties. They did have exceptions on that audit, and we did waive 75% of the penalties.
Okay. Any more questions? Mr. Hollinshead.
Can you tell us the amount of penalties that were waived last time and today?
Yes, sir. Okay. In the previous audit, this was in 2009 when the waiver request went before the board, and the total penalty was $970,286, and the board elected to waive $727,715.
At the same time, I'd like to make a motion not to waive the penalty. We waived $700,000 last time they were here.
So your motion is to say that again?
My motion is to waive no penalty to make them pay a penalty.
Okay, so Mr. Hollinshead has a motion to not waive the penalties.
Second.
Second by Mr. Hyde. Any discussion, questions? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
I believe that's only one nay.
One
So, Mr. Arnold, the motion passes. Item two.
I'm going to make a statement.
Yeah.
I mean, this is you know, this is the sort of thing we need to be careful of, in my mind. If a company in the past has had multiple problems and waived penalties, and all of a sudden they come back and want another waiver, that's crazy. I mean, we've got staff, we've got officers in this department and other departments that are underpaid, lacking staff, and we got schools that need funding. I mean, you know, maybe one strike, but two and three strikes, I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. And I think I would hope that our board takes these waiver penalties serious. Just because it falls within the protocol doesn't necessarily mean we have to accept these waiver penalties.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hike. Anyone else? Secretary Harris?
I would like to mention Mr. Hollingshead and I have had discussions earlier in the year about board looking at the policy in place on how we make those decisions. I think there needs to be some rational, coherent procedure that explains why we waive, when we waive, how much we waive, and when we don't.
Well, there is a policy for that thing.
There is a policy with some guidelines on percentages and full waiver or 70%. In this instance, it was 75%.
I've got it right here.
Yeah.
This is the protocol.
It's in your book in the back.
My question to you, Mr. Young, would be, when was this auditing billing procedure protocol adopted?
That one, I think, was in 2012. I don't remember off the top of my head, but it was via board resolution. Mr. Hike, I did write down, though, your note about waivers given in the past, because that's not something that's part of the current audit criteria. But we have been evaluating the field audit criteria currently, and so I did make note of that, so that's something that maybe we can incorporate and take into consideration for the future protocol.
Well, and I appreciate what Secretary Hassett just said, and that is to revisit this entire idea of, you know, waiving penalties. You know, while everyone else that's involved in this industry is being a good boy, we should hold everyone to the same standard, if you will. And it's difficult to explain why you waive penalties for one company and then in another instance you don't. And it just, to me, doesn't make a lot of sense. We just lose a lot of money for our state.
All right, Secretary Harris.
I would like to know there is some benefit to the state, benefit to us as a board and also mental resources to have some rational policy where we do waive some portion of the penalty. It encourages companies to come forward when they find problems. It encourages them to be cooperative when we ask for information. So I don't want to see us getting into a situation where we just don't waive any penalties ever. I think we should look at the history of the company. How many were they cooperative? You know, how many times have they requested and we granted waivers in the past? And have some provisions that encourage companies to be cooperative with our on staff and to come forward with information.
And we do. I'm sorry. We do have different sets of criteria for different types of waivers, too. The board, I believe it was in 2014, reevaluated all of the royalty reporting late payment penalties for royalty reporting, and we set completely different criteria for those. So this is just, of course, the field audit criteria. And like I said, we are reevaluating the field audit criteria, but there are very specific criteria for every single penalty we assess.
Mr. Chair, may I ask this question?
Yes.
And that is anyone here from that company present? Well, you would think they'd be present if they're asking for a waiver. Maybe, Mr. Secretary, as you go through the process of revising, and I certainly agree with what you just said, go through the process of revising the protocol, maybe when a company is asking for a waiver, we should have someone here explain about the waiver. If they don't have enough interest, coming before us to ask for significant waiver, then we shouldn't even consider it, in my mind at least. Maybe that could be something added to the protocol.
Is that a policy recommendation?
I'm joking.
You're not here?
You really want me to answer that?
No. All right. Any other questions or discussion? All right. Well, I think we're on item two, right?
I think so. Item number two is a recruitment request from Shell Trading Company for an overpayment of $356,660.54. State lease number involved is State Lease 50. For the sales months of January 13 through October 13, Shell paid oil royalties without including a deduction for severance taxes paid. Shell assumed the property tax, the property was tax exempt, but an LDR audit confirmed that severance tax was actually due on this property. Staff reviewed the documentation and confirmed the overpayment and recommends that Shell Trading be allowed to recoup $356,660.54 from future royalties.
Right. Any questions?
Discussion.
Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve staff's recommendation.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to accept staff's recommendation on item two. We have a second by Mr. Hollingshead. Any public comment? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries.
The final item is the staff report to the board that the election for June 2017 gas royalty is to be paid on a processed basis at the Discovery Plant in Rose and the Sea Robin Plant in Henry for the terms of the State Tax Code Global Settlement Agreements. And that concludes the audit report.
Thank you very much. Our next is Legal and Title Controversy Committee. Emil Putnam.
Item number one is a request for final approval of the following operating agreements by and between the State Minimum Energy Board and SOLA Energy Resources LLC to create operating tracts for the exploration and development of oil, gas, and or condensate and other liquid hydrocarbons, which proposal allocates a state production interest in the state of Louisiana as follows. For former state lease number 14988 in Rapids Parish, Louisiana, state production interest of 16.66667% before payout and 20% after payout into the operating track, covering a portion containing 1 acre, more or less situated under 10 Mile Creek within the geographic confines of the Austin Chalk RA SUQQ, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument. This item has been duly advertised and it appears on today's docket as item number 17-11. Former state lease number 170664 in Vernon Parish, Louisiana, with state production interest of 25% before payout and 25.5% after payout into the operating tract, covering a portion containing 34.305 acres more or less, identified as tract 86 on Exhibit A to the unit survey plat for the Austin Chalk RA SUJ, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument. This item has been duly advertised, and it appears on today's docket as item number 17-12. Former state lease number 15459 in Vernon Parish, Louisiana, with state production interest of 25% before payout and 25.5% after payout and into the operating tract, covering a portion containing 8 acres, more or less, identified as tract 5 on Exhibit A to the unit survey plat for the Austin Chalk RA SUG, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument. This item has been duly advertised and it appears on today's docket as item number 17-13. Former state lease number 15448 in Vernon Parish, Louisiana, with state production interest of 25% before payout and 25.5% after payout and into the operating track, covering a portion containing 41.15 acres, more or less identified as tract 2 on Exhibit A to the Union Survey Plan for the Austin Chalk RASUG, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument. This item has been advertised and appears on today's docket as item number 17-14. Form of state lease number 14988 in Rapides Parish, Louisiana, with state production interest of 16.66667% before payout and 20% after payout into the operating track, covering a portion containing 7 acres more or less, situated under 10 Mile Creek within the geographic confines of the Austin Chalk RASUWW, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument. This item has been duly advertised and appears on today's docket as item number 17-15. And finally, form of state lease number 14990 in Rapides Parish, Louisiana, with production interest of 16.66667% before payout and 20% after payout into the operating track, covering a portion containing 41.614 acres, more or less, identified as Track 9 on Exhibit A to the unit survey plat for the Austin Chalk RASUOO, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument. This item has been duly advertised and it appears on today's docket as item 17-16. The operating agreements above qualify for board approval pursuant to revised statute 30:09482 and 3, which reads, to reestablishing a reasonable productive prospective productive area around a well already drilled within the lease was lost through an oversight of technicality, and small 3, establishing a contract on unleased state acreage within an established unit. Staff recommends final approval of all of the operating agreements listed above.
Make a motion for final approval.
That motion by Mr.
Pond. I have a question. Bill, what is before and after payout?
It simply means that, well, before the well has paid out, we will take a certain royalty interest, and it helps the operator to incur costs. We don't attach them the higher percentage after payout, because that's less of an expense to them once payout occurs. So it's a difference in before and after the well pays out of the interest that we're going to receive from this agreement.
And what you're meaning is paying out after all the expenses of the well, right?
After all of the expenses of the well paid out, yes, then it reverts to it's a different royalty.
Right. Depends what classification you're in.
Does this mean that those particular leases, either there was an oversight of technicality and some of those areas could have been interpreted as going back to commerce, and that is why you're doing this with those 6 or 7 different leases?
It was a field that Swift Operating had and got rid of, and Sola acquired the field. And they went in, Swift was in bankruptcy, and Swift saw an opportunity, and so did Sola saw an opportunity as well as Swift, and they wanted to go in and continue to pursue the exploration in that field, and apparently Swift didn't care to continue to do it. So they let the leases go. Sola comes to us and asks us that now that we've conducted this with Swift and we've acquired these assets, in the interim, the leases were lost. So at this point, because of 30:209, these are some criteria that we can allow this to take place, and that's what's happened in lieu of a oil and gas lease.
All right. Anyone? Mr. Holmes, that'd be.
No, do you have any idea how long it'll take to pay out before we move from 16% to 20% with today's prices?
I don't. That would be our technical staff, and I'll be more than happy. We can get you some kind of guesstimation for the. We have the expert coming in now.
Okay.
And look, was there a few of them only 0.5% have to pay up? They're not all 16 to 20.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to get the 58% of 16 to 28 for this.
Okay.
Good morning. I'm Charles Bradbury, for the record. The way, in this particular case here, we're going to set the payout as a timing, so they've had a grace period. What happened in this particular instance was Swift, as mentioned, actually just said, Sonic Mom to shut the well in while they were in the process of actually transferring all the wells that are involved in this situation over to SOLA. So by the time the ink was dry and SOLA could actually take over operations, the leases expired. So the leases were lost by no action of SOLA's. It was Swift just decided they wanted to walk away from it at that point. So nothing bad on Swift, they made a business decision. In this case here, since they've been on for about a year, we look for costs, we look for different things. I tried a lot of different, these other little mechanisms to try to assign a cost. And basically, it was a turn on cost, there was no cost. So we gave them, in this particular case, a grace period to July 1st. And beginning July 1st, we will get the elevated state production interest for this property.
Okay, so this isn't based on a dollar payout, it's based on a calendar, so a certain...
In this particular case, yeah, and it's to meet the criteria within the statute, but we have to participate in the form of the cost and all that, so we can avoid it. And, you know, in these cases, you're talking, you know, you've got 1 acre inside a, you know, 1,000-acre unit, or even 40 acres inside a 1,000-acre unit means per dollars and cents kind of stuff.
You answered my question, thank you.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to accept staff's recommendation for approval. Do I have a second? Anyone? Mr. Holland, seconds? Any further questions or discussion or public comment? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Item 2.
It's a request for final approval of an operating agreement by and between the State Mineral and Energy Board and Allen Brothers to create an operating track for the exploration and development of oil, gas, and/or condensate and other liquid hydrocarbons, liquidated damage upfront payment in addition to money previously paid and allocated to the state, lease numbers 3170 and B1063 for the period of October 1, 2010 through December 31, 2016, places this operating agreement in a paid-out status. This item has been duly advertised and appears on today's docket as item 17-17. Beginning January 1st, 2017, the operator agreed to pay the state a state production interest equal to 32% until December the 31st, 2026, at which time the state production interest would be reduced to 25%. Until the operating agreement expired under its own terms and into the operating track, covering a portion of former state lease number 3170, containing 20 acres more or less, situated in the west half of the southwest quarter of Section 34, Township 21 North, Range 16 West, Caddo Parish, Louisiana, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument. The operating agreement also qualifies for board approval pursuant to our revised Statute 30-209-482-3. Staff recommends final approval of the operating agreement above.
All right. Do we have any discussion questions on item 2? We have a motion to accept the staff's recommendation. Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Secretary Harris. Public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. Item 3.
It's a request by the Attorney General's Office for final approval of a confidential settlement agreement and release between the State of Louisiana, various plaintiffs, LD Niguez et al., and PetroQuest Energy LLC et al., whereas said parties have reached a settlement in the matter related to various mineral interests claimed by the state and private parties entitled LD Niguez et al. Versus the State of Louisiana, docket number C-99 694 15th JDC, remaining Paris, Louisiana, affecting state lease number 20181, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument. This item has been duly advertised, and it appears on today's docket as item 17-18. The plaintiff, in this case, disputed state ownership of certain properties located in Vermilion Parish, Louisiana, specifically riparian coastal property on the northerly bank of Vermilion Bay. Legal staff recommends final approval of this item.
Right. Any questions or discussion or a motion for approval as recommended by staff? A motion by Mr. Arnold to accept staff's recommendation. Do you have a second? Second by Mr. Height. Any public comment? Not all in favor, signify by saying aye. All opposed, the motion carries.
Item number five. Item number four is a request for final approval of a compromise agreement binding between the state of Louisiana, the state's signatories, as listed on page one of the agreement, and the Ward McElhinney signatories, as listed on Exhibit A. Whereas said parties have reached a settlement in the matter related to a wildlife management area and various mineral interests entitled Charles S. Riley et al. Versus State of Louisiana Docket Number 81-42886-1, 15th JDC, Vermilion Parish, Louisiana. Claimed by the State of Louisiana and private parties in Vermilion Parish, Louisiana, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument. This item has been duly advertised and appears on today's docket as item number 17-19. This is a declaration of title and exchange involving a certain act of donation by the Ward McElhinney entities and the Board of Commissioners for the Protection of Birds, Game, and Fish, which is the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. Legal staff recommends final approval of this item.
Motion to accept staff's recommendation.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to accept staff's recommendation on item four. Do I have a second? Second by Ms. Michelle Lula. Any questions or discussion? Any public comment? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye. All opposed, nay. Motion carries. Item five.
It is a request by Mike Moreland Oil and Gas Company, LLC, to the State Mineral and Energy Board, acknowledging the fact of the execution and recordation by the lessees of the rescindment, annulment, and cancellation of a mistaken release of oil and gas lease of state lease number 1908, and requests to recognize that the erroneous full release of state lease number 1908, dated April 20, 2015, has no effect on state lease number 1908. OMR requested a release on state lease number 1908 based on the records of the Office of Conservation at the time, which included incorrect nomenclature unbeknown to OCC. The issue, in brief, pertained to a well being completed in a unit. However, the well nomenclature in the Office of Conservation records reflected the completion of a well on a well basis. The enclosed sworn affidavit by Randy E. Wheeler, Vice President of Land and Business Development for Shoreline Southeast LLC, provides evidence to staff that state lease number 1908 has been properly maintained and has produced to present date. After careful review of the aforementioned affidavit and the additional information and reports provided to lessee, staff recommends that the board acknowledge the execution and recognition of the document entitled Rescindment, Annulment, and Cancellation of Mistaken Release of Oil and Gas Lease of State Lease 1908. Further, staff recommends that the board acknowledge that the instrument entitled Full Release of State Lease 1908, dated April 20th, 2015, has no effect on State Lease 1908. We do have legal representation on their behalf should you have any additional questions to what was presented by staff.
Any questions or discussion? Mr. Hyde?
I'd just like to ask, how did that happen?
Well, we maintain our records based on what industry submits to conservation, and they incorrectly submitted that information, and we had no way of doing anything but going by what the records say. And as time went on and we began to get with the party, and they convinced us and provided evidence that in fact it was presented wrong to the Department of Office of Conservation, and it gets a little more complicated because they just can't flip a switch and turn their records. They have a certain procedure, and that's how that happened, and that's kind of the layman's term. And we have Mr. Bradbury over there if you need any more further explanation or more technical aspects to it, but that's the crux of the matter.
All right. Any other questions or discussion? Do you have a motion to accept staff's recommendation?
So
moved by Mr. Arnold. Accept staff's recommendation. Do you have a second? Second by Mr. Hollingshead. Any public comment? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries.
Number six, it's a request by staff of the State Mineral and Energy Board to direct the Attorney General's Office to place Arden Co. LLC on demand for outstanding liquidated damage assessment in the amount of $28,200 for failure to register as a leaseholder of state leases. Arden Co. was notified by OMR staff pursuant to board authority to register as a prospective leaseholder by June 1, 2016, or incur liquidated damages in the amount of $100 per day until registered, as per revised statute 3123.1c. Arden Co. is a current leaseholder in state lease numbers 2524, 2918, 4041, 4043, 5567, 5568, 5685, 5779, and 6815. Arden Co. registered with OMR on March the 10th, 2017, some 282 days late. Invoices were sent to Arden Co. in October, November, and December of 2016, and January and March of 2017. As of this date, payment has not been remitted by Arden Co. The staff recommends that Arden Co. be placed on demand for the said $28,200 and authority to file suit against Arden Co. should the collection of debt not be paid.
All right. Questions or discussion?
My question would be, how long do you give Arden Co. this letter of demand to come up with the money?
I don't understand. How long what, sir?
In other words, the staff has recommended Arden Co. be placed on demand.
Right.
And then demand letter, you say pay me within 10 days or else. How long does the department give them?
Standard demand, this run, standard demand letters are 30 or 60 days.
Okay.
1 or 2 months.
And so what they're asking of us is that if they don't pay within that period of time, you're going to file suit.
Right. Instead of coming back to you, they're asking for that.
So kind of streamlined.
Yeah, right.
And I know that's one of your favorite things.
That's one of my favorites. Absolutely. That's right. I want to get the money. Okay, thank you.
I'll make a motion to accept staff's recommendation. We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to accept the staff's recommendation. Second by Ms. LeBlanc. Any public comment? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. The motion carries.
Item number seven is a request by staff for the State Mineral and Energy Board to authorize the Attorney General's Office to place Hillport Energy One LP on demand for outstanding liquidated damage assessment in the amount of $31,000 for failure to timely release a portion of State Lease 15736. Staff notified Hillport by letter dated May 8, 2015, that a portion of State Lease number 15736, approximately a little over a half an acre, had expired and requested a timely release of the acreage. On or before August the 31st, 2014, was the date to timely release without penalty. The partial release was recorded on July 7, 2015, some 310 days late. Hillport was invoiced in the amount of $31,000 on November 23, 2016 for liquidated damages regarding the late partial release of State Lease number 15736. Hillport believed that State Lease number 15736 had been properly maintained. It took several months for staff to convince Hillport to the contrary. Staff spoke to Hillport representatives on several occasions and encouraged them to appear before the board to make its plea. A second request for payment of liquidated damages was sent to Hillport on May the 3rd, 2017. Today, the $31,000 remains outstanding. Staff is requesting that the board authorize the Attorney General's office to place Hillport on demand for the amount of $31,000 for failure of payment. In the event the collection of debt is not paid pursuant to the time requested in the damage in the demand letter, staff and the Attorney General's office ask the board for authority to file suit against Hillport for the collection of debts not paid.
Any questions or discussion? Ms. LeBlanc.
Yes, Mr. Fonda. One question here. Staff recommendation saying on or before August 31st, 2014 was the date to timely release without penalty. Why is this 2014? Why are we not charging penalty if they're just trying to, you know, if they just, that's staying up over here. What's the problem with that? Why no penalty?
When a lease goes beyond its primary term, a year or two, the provisions in the lease say that once production and operations cease, the lease expires unless within 90 days you can restore production or you reestablish downhole operations to obtain production. So what we did when the date was when we determined the last day of operations and our production, we gave them 90 days to be able to establish that production or reworking operation. Then the lease form says you have 90 days from the expiration of expiration of production to release the lease. So that's the date that we're talking about right there.
So that's it, it's done because it's in the contract, is that what you're saying basically?
I guess you could say, it like that. That's the starting.
You're trying to pull teeth and it's not.
That's the starting point for us to establish the 310 days or whatever the assessment would be. That's that date.
Any other further questions? Do you have a motion to accept the staff's recommendation?
Sure.
Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Hyde. All in favor of any public comment? All in favor, signify by saying aye. All opposed, say nay. Motion carries.
Item number eight is a request from staff to authorize the Attorney General's office to place Pledger Operating LLC on demand for non-performance and for a cancellation of State Lease number 17315 and to authorize the Attorney General's office to collect the $100 per day for failure to time and release State Lease number 17315. By certified letter dated